RC, and I'm here with Brad from Third Eye Blind. How you doing?
Doing good.
And we're backstage at the House of Blues tonight in San Diego. At UCSD, right? At the Sun God Festival.
Yes.
Got a little wild.
Yeah, that was surprising because our tour manager said, yeah, it's like a 6,000 person show. We just figured it was kind of like a regular college show. And then we showed up and it was, I think there were 16,000. So either they forgot to put the one on the, on the sheet they sent us or something, but it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, definitely. And good reception. You played one new song at the show, right?
If I remember correctly, yeah.
Summer Town.
Okay, Summer Town, yeah.
Yeah, so it seemed to get a good reception. Are you guys finding on the tour that the new songs are getting a good reception overall?
Yeah, I would say that, for sure. You know, a lot of the shows we're doing are really, we're doing some more intimate fan shows, like 1,000 to 2,000 people, so those people are really hungry for new material since we haven't had a record out since 2003. I would say that, yeah, people are pretty excited about new stuff.
And so are you going to continue touring this summer?
We have some shows. We're playing like some big rock fest in July, and some dates here and there. I don't know if it's gonna be a tour, but there's just a bunch of like 1 and 2 day little runs.
And when's the new album gonna come out? When are you guys looking at that?
Well, our records come out when they're finished, and it's just really it's hard to put a date on when it is.
Right.
Steven kind of is like, you know, he spends a lot of time really fine-tuning the lyrics because they have to be just a certain way for him to feel comfortable with it being released. So it just takes him a while to do it, and so he's working through that process.
And what have you been doing in the time kind of in between the last album, Out of the Vein, and now when you guys weren't touring?
Oh, I have another band actually that just signed with Volcom Records. It's called Yearlong Disaster, and so I spent a lot of time doing that. We're making a record in Tucson right now. Actually, I've been flying back and forth during the days to these shows. It's been crazy, but I do that, and Steven does a Steven produces other artists, and Tony's like working on a film script, and so there's like everyone's kind of has a whole bunch of stuff they do. That's part of the reason it takes so long to make records.
So as far as your drumming and what you've done, you started out doing jazz, right?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was he was like a jazz fan, and so he kind of turned me on to that from an early age. And of course, the drumming in that style was really creative and, you know, a little more interesting than some of the stuff I was hearing in like 80s pop music, which I wasn't really digging on. So that just kind of got me into more, you know, into R&B and just more like, I don't know, just music that black people make, I guess you would say. So I just found that more interesting, and then kind of came back around to rock when I got a little more raw in the 90s.
So do you ever...
But, I mean, the first stuff I played, I know, was Jimi Hendrix, Experience, and Led Zeppelin and AC/DC and heavy metal, Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. I was like a suburban white kid, you know, so that's the stuff I was into initially when I played. And then as I started picking up the instrument and kind of really getting into trying to improve on the instrument, like those other influences kind of came along.
And then what do you see going back to that at all, or do you try to incorporate that in with your other band or any of what you do?
I don't see really going back to it. It's kind of a part of, you know, what makes up my influences as a musician, and so it will get expressed in different ways. A lot of the drummers that I liked growing up, like John Bonham and Charlie Watts from the Stones, and those guys had jazz influences in their playing, and that's why they're able to improvise and not play the same way every night. And that's one of the things I strive to do is sort of like be able to improvise and play in the moment and like make each time I perform like something that's a little bit different within the confines of like what I have to play.
Right. Yeah, and making sure you're keeping the rhythm and everything, which I did notice.
Yeah. You got to keep time, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a problem. Yeah.
Unfortunately, because no one else on stage is.
Yeah, I mean, I even noticed because I did catch your show the other night. When you do a solo and things like that, and when I've seen you guys before, I mean, things are different. Like, you definitely play differently, and
Yeah, yeah. First, yeah, and the solo is definitely my time to kind of stretch out and do some different things. I kind of have some things that I rely on, different sections of that solo that I do, kind of, like, I don't do them the same way, but they're sort of similar ways, so within, you know, kind of try to improvise within these things that I do, so. Where'd you see us play?
I saw
at Sun God.
And then previously at UCSD, too, when I was a student, so it was, like, back when, I guess, when Blue...
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Exactly.
I remember that. That was at that big amphitheater, that steep amphitheater.
Oh, that was an open air. Yeah, that's at State.
Yep.
That was fun.
Who are your biggest influences? You kind of mentioned already some drummers.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of drumming, that's, you know, rock guys like John Bonham. And I don't hear, like, Stuart Copeland's influences in my playing, but every time I listen to, like, a Police record, especially the early ones, I'm just kind of blown away with the level at which he's playing. And he's someone who's, like, playing it differently every time, just kind of improvising and playing in the moment and playing what's right for that performance in that moment, and I really respect that. There's a bunch of jazz guys like Elvin Jones that are just, like, just so raw and powerful. Tony Williams, really creative. Those kind of people I like. I mean, there's so many good drummers. It's like any band that's had any success, 99% of them have really, really good drummers. It's just, you have to have a good drummer, I think. So if you're a musician starting a band, get a good drummer. That's my advice.
So what's the set you're playing with now? Is it, have you, like, just...
With Third Eye Blind, I play these custom drums called D'Amico drums. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Drum set?
Yeah.
He's a small drum company based in Boston. Actually, I think he's, like, in New Hampshire now. Just really cool custom drums that, like, they're really well-crafted, but they don't really sound slick, like, really high-end drums kind of can sound too good sort of way. These kind of still have retained some soul, so play that, and then I just play vintage stuff with Year Long Disaster. I'm in the studio using an old Gretsch, and I tour with a big Ludwig clear Vista light, kind of like Bonham's, and Song Remains the Same video. So, just different stuff. I like to have, I've got a bunch of different stuff, so I just kind of try to find places for it.
So, have you done any recording for the new album already?
For Third Eye Blind?
Yeah, for Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, I've put down, like, probably 10 or 12 drum tracks, and they're in various states of completion, the songs. Some, like, are relatively complete, and some are just basically drum tracks sitting on there waiting for people to kind of build a mountain on them. I think after this tour, this is the last day of what we're doing this spring. So Tony's going to go back to San Francisco and start working on, start playing, putting the guitars down, and, you know, just kind of build them up for dinner.
So with your other band, the recording, you guys are you guys all in the studio together doing that?
Yeah, we're all doing it. Yeah, all the basics went down live. I mean, we literally have about 3 weeks to make the whole record, so you literally have to just go in there and play it. Plus, that's just the way the music is. It's just... That band is really about three guys just playing together in a room, and that's why Volcom gave us a record deal, because they like the way we play live. They just saw us and they're like, okay, you know. So we're just really trying to capture that. But this producer Jim Waters, who's doing the record, is just awesome. He did some Sonic Youth stuff and R.L. Burnside and John Spencer Blues Explosion. That's
okay.
Who he did, like, all his, like, Acme and Orange and all his really cool records. So he's just this raw sound sculptor guy that is just super cool. So it's sounding good.
So it's a totally, for you though, it's a different experience completely, right? Going from one style of recording to another.
Yeah, they're totally different kinds of bands. One's a power trio, and, you know, Third Eye Blind's four people. It's just a whole different way that we make music, and it's really cool because both bands sort of have their appeal. Mm-hmm. And but there's just totally separate. There's really separate creatively for me.
So in looking at Third Eye Blind, is Steven producing this record?
Mm-hmm.
So do you like working with Steven as a producer? Is it different? Like, does he kind of change kind of when he's the lead singer on stage tonight, for example, and then when he's producing the album and things?
I mean, Steven's just always Steven. You know, he wears a lot of hats in this band, and he's got a big job in this band.
Yeah.
And that's the way he wants it, and, you know, and has to have it be. It takes a while because I think there's a lot of pressure on him, frankly, because he's just got to, like, you know, you got to write the great songs, and then you got to produce them and make them, right. You know, and live up to what you've written, and then be the guy that says, okay, it's done, and this is our record, you know. So it's a lot of pressure, I would think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. But you know, he's made some good, great things happen for us. So I just,
yeah,
you just got to put your faith. You got to put your faith in the producer.
Well, it's been a lot of fun for 10 years to see you guys, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool that you've seen us for so long.
So have you noticed with your fans that, have you seen some of the fans that you had right from the beginning at all? Like, do some of them kind of show up at a bunch of different shows?
Yeah, definitely on the East Coast, because we've always toured on the East Coast more for some reason. There's definitely like some people that you see out, and they've gone to like 97 concerts and stuff like that, and it's it's crazy. Not as much on the West Coast, just because we never played out here as much. Touring on the West Coast is just harder because the cities are so far apart. But so I don't notice as much out here, but I do on the East Coast for sure.
So how's this tour been, and just being back on stage with the band and touring together?
It's been really nice. You know, I mean, it's not like we've been playing shows this whole time. We just would play like one or two in a row, and then, you know, and then suddenly we had five in a row, and then we had about a week and a half, and then suddenly we had a whole tour. It's just kind of like built up over the last 3 years. We kind of built back into like doing some more work, but it feels really good. This is the best the band has ever played by far, and everyone's getting along pretty well. It's really fun. It's nice to see fans that just truly love the music, and you know, that aren't coming just because they heard a song on the radio. They're coming because they have all the records and they know all the songs from, you know, 1 through 12, and they sing along and they care about the music. And so it's really enjoyable because it's sort of like taking part in something with the community, as opposed to like, oh, we're just gonna go play a show for you. No, it's like we're sort of taking part in what's going on.
Well, and it's pretty incredible too, just to kind of go through and say, okay, I'm gonna play, you know, we're gonna do these shows, and there are all these new bands out, and kind of things are kind of seem to be going back to piano a little bit in a way, and things mm-hmm. like that. But you guys come out and people are ready to hear you, and they're singing along to the songs that they know really well, and then mm-hmm. kind of going, oh wait, I remember that one on the album too, that's cool. And it just seems like, just outside even hearing people talk, they're pretty excited to see your show. So
yeah, well, you know, we haven't, like I said, we haven't played much on the West Coast over the last few years, so it's nice to come back here and just feel like people still care about the band.
Yeah, definitely. And what's your favorite Third Eye Blind song?
I would say it's probably Wounded off Blue.
Well, I never claim to understand what happens after dark, but my fingers catch the sparks at the thought of touching you when you're wounded.
Feel like that was like everybody sort of hitting on all cylinders. Every person in the band sort of brought what they do best to that song, and for that reason I think that's probably the best, that's my favorite song, and I think that's the best Third Eye Blind song.
Nice. What about just in general, what are your favorite songs, I'll say, because it's usually hard to narrow it down to one?
Well, I like Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who, because it's like that rock and roll message of the man keeping you down, and it's like an 8-minute epic song. It has the best rock and roll scream of all time, in my opinion. And I listen to so much different music. I always get asked this question. I'm always freeze up because I just have an iPod and it's just on shuffle, right. And it's like, yeah. How do you pick one out? But I think that's one of the most important songs and one of my favorite songs. And the drumming's great on it. Keith Moon, one of my favorites. So we'll stick to that.
Have you thought about yourself like producing or doing anything?
Over this last year, did all the pre-production for Year Long Disaster at my house, and so I was, you know, just recording everything into Pro Tools and mixing it and you know, we, the band produces the stuff, but like, you know, when you, when you're the guy mixing it, you have a lot of control. So that was nice, and I could see maybe if the right project came along. Like, some people have asked me to do some production stuff. If the right band came along, I would do it, but it's really just about the music. Like, I have to feel really personally connected to it to be able to work on it. I did some studio stuff with some different artists over the last few years, and I just found that unless I personally am invested in it, like emotionally in the music, unless I am, I can't really do a good job with it. I can't do the music justice. Like, I have to be sort of in love with it to be able to do, like, to live, to play up to, like, where my, like, to my standards. So, same thing would be for production. Like, I really have to be, like, I really have to find a band that I love. So, hopefully someone like that will come along and ask me.
Cool. Well, I'll let you,
go play a rock show.
Yeah. Alright, well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Can we try and take the high road?